Dear listeners, Sai Ram, we now bring you part 2 of our program, Vahini Satsang. Today's episode was first aired on the 16th February 2017 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
The fundamental quality of tamas is ignorance.
Yeah.
Tamas is easily correlated with darkness, you know.
Yes.
But if you see in our own daily experience, the point where we are in absolute darkness, an absolute ignorance, state of ignorance, is deep sleep. You know, in deep sleep, we cannot perceive anything.
Yes.
We don't perceive the waking world. We don't perceive a dream world. Nothing is perceived there. So it is an absolute state of ignorance, you know. So tamas is that state of darkness. But if life is converted into tapas, we can transcend the tamas.
Yes.
And you know, there is also a kind of bliss when you get up from deep sleep.
Oh yes.
But it is not born out of wisdom.
Yeah.
You know. But when you are experiencing prasada, the state of prasada buddhi, which Lord Krishna says, that is born out of wisdom, which can never leave us.
Yeah. You are consciously in bliss.
Yes, in whatever state the body
and
mind
you want,
be.
We can. I mean, you are all the time
yes,
in bliss.
Yes, because you are bliss.
You are bliss
in that point. So when life is converted into tapas, Swami says, as you rightly put it, then tamas is destroyed or it's transcended. But while this might sound very esoteric or philosophical sometimes to us. In our practical life, there are certain elements in our day-to-day life itself, which are the very embodiment of what Bhagavan is describing here. That is, life is a yajna.
Yajna.
For example, one of our most favorite exercise on a daily basis, which is having food.
Yes.
You know, Swami took the pains in one session in the same Chennai 2007 trip to explain how food is not just a process where you satiate your taste buds or, you know, you want the best of the delicacies. All that is fine. You have a good time, that's a different thing. But what we need to really look at, the way we need to really look at this whole process, which happens at least twice a day, sometimes as Swami, you know, cracks a joke and says, 3-4 times a day also, you know, is actually a yajna. And when we say yajna, what are the components of the yajna? A yajna must have a sacrificial fire. A fire must be lit. A sacred fire must be lit. You know. And then all the components that are being offered in sacrifice have to be absolutely pure. You know. And the yajna purusha must be invoked.
Yes.
You know. And the proceedings of the yajna is distributed to all the devi devatas. You know, you invoke all the devi devatas and you offer, there is offering for everybody in that.
Yes.
This is actually the yajna that we see, you know, during the Dashara when it happens in Prashantinilayam, or the Atirudra yajnas, or yajnas all over the world. These basic principles are common across any yajna that is performed. But these external yajnas are also only symbolic of what the yajna of life itself is. And if we carefully note, Bhagavan explains this beautifully and says, see where this yajna happens. He says, while food is being partaken, it is not simple act of, you know, nourishment alone, but it is actually a yajna. And we can correlate every aspect of having the food to the aspects of various aspects of yajna. First thing that we need in the yajna is the fire, the sacrificial fire, which has to be naturally lit. If we would have noticed,
yes.
You know, in the Atirudra yajnas or in even the Dashara yajnas, you cannot use a lighter or a matchstick and then, you know, light the sacrificial fire. It has to be born out of natural means.
Yes.
So you will find one pujari holding a stick from the top and applying pressure.
Yes.
And that wooden piece is, you know, anchored on top of a round bowl like another wooden piece.
Yes.
And then there is another purohit, a priest, you know, who is churning the stick.
Yes.
You know, there's pressure applied from top.
Yes.
And there is continuous churning which is happening.
Yes. Yes.
And when this whole process happens, that is when due to friction,
yes,
fire is produced and there are some subtle elements present inside the bowl which can catch fire immediately. So they take that and then put into the
Yajna Kunda.
Of course, I forgot to mention, before even the fire, you need the Havan Kunda. That is the space or the construction, sacred construction where the Havan or the Yajna is to be performed, inside which the fire is lit. So that is required. So what is this natural fire and what is this Havan Kund or Yajna Kunda? Bhagavan says that the human body itself is the Havan Kund. Human body itself is the Yajna Kunda, the sacrificial construction or the sacred construction in which the sacrifice is happening.
All the
you know, that is human body itself. And the fire has to be natural. It has to be lit on its own, in the sense, you know, that is, it has to be lit by natural means.
Yes.
And that fire in us is what is called as Jatara Agni.
Yes.
The fire in the stomach,
yes,
what we usually call as hunger.
Hunger.
The reason why we feel a burning sensation when we say we are hungry is because heat has increased in the
yes
stomach.
Yes.
That heat is symbolic of that fire, sacrificial fire. So whenever the body needs nourishment, the heat in the stomach also, you know, increases,
yes,
and it produces those acids and
yes
the other juices.
The fire is being lit now. Offerings have to be made.
Yeah, now offerings have to be made, and there is a sense of urgency to
yes
do the yajna. But the fire is a natural fire. That's what
yes
we need to understand.
Absolutely.
Here. And that is why even in the prayer that we chant, Brahma Arpanam Brahma
yes
Havir, in the second half, we say Aham Vaishvanaror Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashritah.
Yes.
That is, as Vaishvanara, that is the Jatara Agni,
yes,
divinity itself, the Yajna Purusha itself is in the form of the digestive fire. And he is waiting there. Praninam Deham Ashritah. That is, I am present in every human body, which is the Yajna Kunda.
Yes.
You know, Prana Apana Samayuktah Pacham Yannam Chaturvidam. By using the Prana and Apana, the two Pranas,
yes,
the balance of them, Pacham Yannam Chaturvidam, the four types of food I digest, you know, that is what we pray every day.
Yes.
It is a reminder to tell us that this is a Prema Yajna, a Brahma Yajna that is happening every single day. So that is why there is certain level of sanctity which Swami always advised while having food. So he said, Swami used to say that, see, don't sit in front of television,
yeah,
don't watch a movie while having food,
mm,
or you know, don't watch something violent or something that triggers the senses while
yes
you're having food. Because what happens is, food is not only what we take through the mouth. So at that point of sacred yajna, which when it is happening, you know, how clean and how serene we maintain.
Yes.
If we look at Purnachandra Auditorium
exactly
or Kulwant Hall when the Atirudra is happening.
You don't watch TV and do yajyam.
Yeah, means what kind of
yes
sanctity has to be maintained?
Exactly.
An absolute purity. And this yajna which happens on a daily basis is no less than that. That is what
yes
Swami is trying to say.
Mm.
Same thing Lord Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita. Both the shlokas which we chant before food, Brahmarpanam
yes
and Aham Vaishvanarar Bhutva, are from Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
And Lord Krishna also emphasized on this and said that don't take this to be an ordinary activity, you know.
Yes.
So this Havan Kriya is very, very important and critical. So we are partaking.
Yes.
Now the question is, we have understood what is the Havan Kund, that is the sacrificial base, and what is the natural fire. And now comes the environment, which Swami says that it should be very clean. And another thing which Swami requests from us, I'm saying request because he really did that.
Mm.
Swami would never impose it on us. He would
yes
literally request us and say, see, if you do this, it is for your own good.
Yes.
You know, he never forces us. It is only out of source, out of pure love. Literally, Swami used to request. And in that session in Chennai, Swami played a little beautiful episode, you know, a play, like a drama. And out of that, he made us realize this point. You know, what kind of ambience needs to be there, because it is to be considered as a yajna. It so happened that in Sundaram, that is Swami's abode in Chennai, where we used to have partake meals with food with prasadam with Swami. Swami used to sit on his table, and six of us would be able to sit around Swami while having food. And some VIPs used to sit, of course, slightly at a distance on their table and chair. Six of us, because the space in that room was only sufficient for six of us to be seated down on the floor. But we were 13 of us in the group. So which meant that seven of us, the remaining seven, would have to go elsewhere to have our food for the session. So what we decided amongst ourselves was, we will divide ourselves into two groups and, you know, we will alternate sessions. Yes. Breakfast, lunch. In fact, Swami used to feed us four sessions in a day, you know, and each session is a lavish session. Mm. So there used to be breakfast, there used to be lunch, there used to be evening snacks, and then dinner, you know. So we decided, since there are four sessions, we will alternate the sessions, and we'll also change the grouping on the next day. Mm. Like say, if today is my breakfast and lunch session, tomorrow it will be breakfast and evening snack session. Tomorrow it will be lunch and dinner. Mm. So that all the sessions we get to be with Bhagwan. You know, it was a very wonderful opportunity. But Swami wanted to pull our leg and at the same time convey a very, very profound message. So he looked at us one day. This is after a few days of stay in Chennai. Mm. You know, one food session. Swami was about to have his lunch. And the practice was, we all would chant Brahmarpanam, Swami would wait until we complete the prayer, then Swami would himself partake something, then we will start eating.
Yes.
You know? So that day, Swami gestured and asked us to start, so we all chanted Brahmarpanam. But after Brahmarpanam, Swami is not eating. You know, so we were all looking at Swami eagerly, that Swami should have something. Mm. And brothers who were serving Swami then came and they pleaded with Swami. Swami said, no, you all start. You all start eating. So all of us told Swami, first Swami should have, then only we will have. Mm. You know, Swami was insistent and he said, no, I want you to start. Mm-hmm. So we also did not give up, and then we said, no, Swami, until Swami has, we will not have food. You know, and then Swami made a very profound statement. It's the kind of importance that God gives to this. And he said, Bangaru, andaru Brahmarpanam chepparu kada, my loving ones, all of you chanted Brahmarpanam, isn't it? Adanta nake chirindi. All that food that you offered has already reached me.
Oh, wow.
Inka enta tintano. Oh. How much more can I eat? I am full already, he said. That is when we understood that for Swami, it is a sacred yajna. And he is verily the yajna purusha, the Vaishvanara, who receives it in the human form, in all human forms and in all beings also. So Swami declared on that day, he said, when you chanted Brahmarpanam, I received it, I received everything. I am full now. How much more can I eat? You know, that was an amazing moment to experience the profundity of what happens in our daily life. And then, of course, we pleaded with Swami, and he, as usual, acted as if he's taking a morsel. He just picked two grains of rice and put so that we would start. And then, you know, some time passed. And then Swami looks at all of us and then says, there are supposed to be 13 of you. Only six of you are sitting here. You know, then we didn't know what to say. So then there were some elders who said, Swami, other boys are down, downstairs, behind the Sundaram Bhajan Hall. They had a beautiful arrangement for the rest of us, you know. And then Swami says, see, these boys, they don't like to eat with Swami.
Oh.
So we were all like, no Swami. And then Swami was like, no. These boys don't like to eat. Why? Because if they eat with Swami here, then they will only take how much is required for them, not extra, because it is tasty. You know, Swami is telling this. Swami said, if they are eating with Swami, they will carefully take only how much they require. And in fact, just to give the beauty of the scene, when we are having with Swami, Swami will closely observe who is serving, how they are serving, how much they are serving, and more importantly, how much we are receiving.
Correct.
You know, very carefully Swami would notice all those things. And then Swami said, in Swami's presence, you will eat only how much is required, not more. In Swami's presence, you will eat silently. These are the two points Swami made.
Wow.
In Swami's presence, you will eat silently.
Hmm.
And these boys, they like to eat. If it is tasty, they want to have how much ever they want. And they don't like to eat in silence. That is why these boys are not here. You know, then there was one very nice gentleman seated there who, a senior devotee who then told Swami, no Swami, it's really the space constraint.
Hmm.
But Swami wanted to teach us something much more profound. That is why he said. Now we can look at the corollary of this. What Swami said here? In Swami's presence, this is a Brahma Yajna. When you say Brahmarpanam, you are offering this Yajna to me. I am the Yajna Purusha who is receiving the offerings as Vaishvanara. And then he says, in my presence, when you do Yajna, and we all know that whenever Yajna used to happen here, then or even now, Swami's presence is where the Yajna happens. Without Swami's presence, the yajna cannot happen because he is the yajna purusha.
Yes.
So in Swami's presence, the yajna happens. So he says, when this yajna you are doing in my presence, take care of two things. Only what is to be offered in the yajna you offer.
Yeah.
Means what is required for the nourishment
and
of the body.
And there are scriptural instructions,
yes,
and guidelines about how much to offer.
How much to offer, what
to
kind
offer.
Of food to offer, at what time.
The purity of the things to be
offered. Yes, purity of the food,
yes.
Sattvic nature of the food, you know.
Yes.
So all that is very, very important. That you should only offer how much is required to be offered. And the other aspect is it should be done in a state of silence. Because it is a yajna in Swami's presence. So if we convert our daily process of having food into a yajna in this manner, invoking Swami's presence as a yajna purusha who is within, everything is natural. This body itself is a havan kunda, homa kunda.
Yes.
You know? And then finally, Swami concludes his food with a dessert.
Mm.
His dessert are basically fruits, you know.
Mm.
And I was closely observing. There were these beautifully cut melons, you know.
Mm.
Melons are very sattvic, you know.
Yes.
They just have a very medium level of sweetness.
Correct.
And, you know, very light on the stomach.
Musk melons,
you know, and watermelons.
Mm.
So Swami, it was a beautiful sight. Swami would take a fork, you know, fork but with only two teeth, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know what you call that.
Mm.
But he would take his fork and then he would slowly, gently pierce into the melon. No, he will not like, you know, all of us, how do we do? If it's there, you know, we just don't care with what force we are, you know, piercing the food and, you know, having. But Swami would give absolute attention to that, you know.
Yeah,
but it is a
correct.
Beautiful, sublime sight. Swami would take that fork and slowly, gently slide it into the melon. And take it and then, you know, he would drop it into his mouth very gently. And that melon will just slide into Swami and, you know, he will chew it. And then in moments, the melon becomes part of Swami's body.
Yeah.
How beautiful is that? That moment was so enormous, so sublime and beautiful. It presented with one of the most wonderful aspects of wisdom. The melon there represents sattva guna, sattvic nature. It represents also sweetness, very sublime sweetness, you know. So if we make our lives like that, if our inputs are sattvic in nature, and we ourselves exhibit sattva guna means always to be in love and concern for others, seek God in everybody.
Yes.
Always to be in love and concern for others. That is sattva guna. If we develop this nature, then Swami himself will accept us.
Yes.
Like the melon, you know.
He would pick us and make us a part of his being.
Yeah, and there was so much message because the fork which Swami used had only two teeth in it, you know. Two fingers, so to speak. So the two fingers represent duality, you know. So if we make ourselves a sattvic nature and sweetness is our own nature, you know.
Yes.
If we become sweet ourselves, then Swami will pierce with our current state, which is duality, and put it into himself, accept us into himself and make us one with him.
Yes.
So we transcend this duality and become one with him. And I think that is what Swami explains in the second paragraph, how we have to recognize that we are not this body.
Yes.
And we have to give up the identification with this body and become one with the Atma, which is only one, not two.
Yes.
Swami used to time and again say.
Yes.
So this whole Havan Kriya, which Swami explained through, but painstakingly, but in such beautiful, sublime, you know, divine form, gave this insight that an everyday activity can be transformed into the highest yajna. And Swami himself is present to receive this yajna.
And the fruits of the yajna, I mean the yajna is offered to all the deities, as
yes.
you said. And I think we know how everything that we eat ultimately goes into the lymphatic system, it goes into the circulatory system, you know, it goes into...
becoming the body and
becoming
all the
body
organs.
And energizing it is, yes. you know, sometimes when I think about this lymphatic system, for example, you know, it's so amazing. Everything about the body is amazing, but you know, you take all the food that you eat, and so there is, and so the essence of the food is now grasped, you know, taken in, and now there is this beautiful lymphatic system which knows that, okay, vitamin A is what the eye needs. So, you know, so that, you know, it sends that to the eye. It knows, okay, this is what the brain needs. You know, so beautifully silent.
Naturally it happens.
So all the senses, which are of the deities, you know, that fruit is distributed so beautifully. So if you take something pure, then automatically only pure things
will go to
the senses,
yes.
you know. Then we are never going to have cancer.
Yes. In fact, even for spiritual sadhana, it is very, very critical what kind of food we have. Swami has time and again told students that always be careful about outside food, you know, in the hotels or in the telas, you know, in the local language you call bandi food, you know, the telas. So Swami has always said, be very careful, not only because of the hygiene. Hygiene is of course very important and we need to take. But if you are a spiritual sadhaka,
correct.
The food is, the essence of the food is what becomes our mind. Jaisa an, vaisa man. Swami used to tell this so lovingly, you know. Jaisa an, vaisa man.
Yes.
So our mind and the thoughts verily are, you know, a result of our food itself. So we need to be extremely careful with what we eat and how we eat. Of course, without causing trouble to others. Whatever is available, we should offer it to God. That is why Swami said, you won't have control over food all the time.
Yeah.
But you should make a conscious choice to, you know, have the right kind of food, because this is a yajna.
Correct.
You cannot just put anything and everything.
Yes.
But the positive, as you are mentioning this, you know, the Purusha Suktam says how each devata, devi devata is actually each of the sense organs. Sense, you know, Chandrama, Manaso, Jataha, Chaksho, Suryo, Ajayata,
yes.
Mukhad, Indras, Chagnischa, Pranat, Vayur, Ajayata.
Yes.
You know, all the devi devatas are various organs and various aspects of the human body. And the food offered in the yajna automatically goes to every devi devata in the form of various organs. Various functionalities of the human body itself. But the highest yajna is the, in fact here as Swami, in just these two paragraphs, you know, it is mind-boggling how Bhagavan has, you know, beautifully mentioned this. In just these two paragraphs, he has described that life is a yajna and the result of the yajna. See, every yajna has to be associated with a sankalpa, that is a strong will or a strong determined purpose. You know, what is the purpose of it? Like for example, the yajnas that happen in Dashara or Atirudra, is the purpose is loka kalyana, welfare of the entire universe and the entire cosmos is the purpose. In the same way, the Swami here describes in these two paragraphs that life is a yajna, how you should do the yajna by spirit of surrender. And then he says that the purpose of this yajna, the sankalpa of this yajna, is to realize I am not the body, I am not the mind, and I am the Atma. The realization of the self is the very purpose of the human body. And in fact, there is a beautiful chinnakatha which Swami has himself designed. He calls this chatushpada Tripada Mahasabha. Mm. You know, the conference of the four-legged ones. Beautiful description, because Swami describes how the fox is the secretary of the meeting. He convenes the meeting. You know, he discusses the meeting with the lion and all the other animals, and he proposes, and he says, why is human being given the foremost position in the society, and why do scriptures say jantunam narajanma durlabham, you know, human being is the highest of the creation, why should he be given all these crest jewel status and all that while we have so many good qualities? So we should convene a meeting and discuss this. You know, this is how Swami describes that chinnakatha, and he says how Nakka the fox is the secretary, and the president is the lion because he is the king of the jungle. And then there is the elephant, and the smallest of the beings, like the rabbit and the rat to the elephant, everybody is present there, and they invite a yogi from the forest who is in absolute equanimity. He is not somebody who takes sides, as the chief guest, you know, to decide upon the deliberations and all that. It's a beautiful description. But in the crux of that, you know, Swami says at the end, the animals all tell the chief guest, that is the rishi, that what is it that is unique in man? You know, we also have many good qualities. You look at the dog, faithfulness and loyalty like the dog is impossible. Elephant is known to have a great intelligence.
And gratitude.
And you have every... Lion does not kill unless it is hungry. So they have their own set of kind of a value system. Or not really value system, but they have their own qualities, you know.
Yes.
So the fox highlights, he's like the attorney there, you know, the lawyer, and he tries to present his case. And he says, you know, we all also have all these good qualities. Many times, man fails to exhibit these qualities of loyalty, of intelligence, of gratitude. Then why should you put him on top of the world, you know? Then the rishi says, you know, I agree with whatever you say, but there is a unique faculty in man which is not there in all of you. That unique faculty is twofold. One is he has the ability to transform his nature.
Yes.
See, all of you have one fundamental nature. All animals have a nature. They cannot change their nature.
They're largely hardwired.
You know? Yeah. Because that instinctively they function. So the rishi says, you have a basic nature which you cannot transcend in the lifetime. You know, that'll remain your nature. Yeah, you will have some nice qualities like this, but you cannot transcend your animal nature. But man can change his nature. He can transform his qualities. That is the power that he has. Then he says, the second quality is M-A-N. Swami says, man means M-A-N. M, Maya, remove.
Oh.
A, Atma, see. N, Nirvan, attain.
Attain.
Swami says, see, this only man can do. What is this? Maya, remove.
Yes.
Atma, see.
Yes.
Nirvan, attain. In the lifetime, he has the ability to completely transform himself and realize divinity.
Yes.
Maya, remove. Atma, see. Nirvan, attain.
Yes.
This is the uniqueness of human being, and that is why he is called the crest jewel.
Yes.
Immediately, you know, in Swami's story, immediately all the animals, they say, oh, this is an extraordinary thing, we submit. This we cannot argue against, but we still hold on to our point. If there is a human being, means a person with a human form, does not utilize his life to transform his qualities and realize the Atma, that is Maya, remove, Atma, see, Nirvana, attain, then don't call him equal to us animals. We feel insulted. He is worse than us.
Oh.
Because at least we have some quality. You know, that is the kind of the argument that these animals put forward.
Beautiful.
And, you know, that's beautiful chinnakatha through which Swami said, the goal and purpose of this yajna of life is Maya remove, Atma see, Nirvan attain.
That is what Bhagavan is very beautifully saying here. Everything that we do is only to realize the higher self.
Yes.
The purpose of human body, the purpose of Swami saying, instead of thinking about all and sundry, you should know that the body is only for the purpose of realizing the higher self.
Yes.
Yes.
In fact, Bhagavan always used to give this quote, Sanskrit quote, paropakarartham idham shariram. That is, paropakara means service to others, you know. idam shariram, this body is given for service to others. And in a recent discourse which Swami mentioned, in fact, what I mean by recent discourse is one of these dasharas, you know, Radio Sai team had put up a sequence of discourses of Bhagwan, and in one of those discourses Swami mentioned so beautifully that human being is a composite of three aspects: body, mind and atma. And he defined it so beautifully and said, if you identify yourself only with the body, you will exhibit animal nature, because animals work instinctively.
Correct.
And all their nature is based on their preservation and security of their body, and you know that's predominantly what they are. So if you are identified with the body alone, you will exhibit all animal nature. And if you are identified only with the mind being bundle of desires and fixed ideologies,
yes.
You know, if you're too strong onto your ideology, then and you are kind of driven by your desires and you don't care about what happens or what is required to fulfill your desire, and you just step over everybody. Swami says if you are identified with such a mind, it is demonic in nature. And if you integrate body, mind and atma, it is human nature. And if you transcend body and mind, it is divine nature.
Wow.
So Bhagwan says that this Trikarna Shuddhi means integrating body, mind and atma. That is, while we have some association with the body to work with, while we have thoughts that we associate with, we should allow the atma or the conscience to guide our actions and thoughts. And when that happens, it leads to unification of thought, word and deed, which is Trikarna Shuddhi. And that will eventually lead us to, if we are intense in our purpose, to the ultimate goal of life, which is transcending body and mind in our living time, and to know that we are beyond body and mind.
Yes. So I think here very clearly Swami says that, you know, we have to give up this feeling of I am the body. I think that is the first step.
Yes, that is the first step.
In spiritual sadhana. I think let us pray to Bhagwan that, you know, as we prepare ourselves to observe this beautiful, sanctifying, uplifting festival of Shivaratri, I think this is the time, as Bhagwan says, when we have the best opportunity to actually subdue the mind and its vagaries. And I think we have to cross this stage of forgetting that we are the body, forgetting that we are the mind. And I think Shivaratri is that moment which comes, of course, every month you have this night, but Mahashivaratri is the most propitious of all such months, such days that come every month, where you have the opportunity to transcend the body and mind with perhaps lesser effort than on any other day.
Yes. It is more easy because the whole universe is facilitating the process in a sense, you know.
Yes. So let us remember.
Yeah. And in fact, I think as a preparation to that, as a sadhana towards that, if we can practice even in a simple way this yajna of life, you know, in form of food, when we have bath, to imagine it as a abhishekam to the Lord, to consider the body as a temple of God, and life itself as a worship with the spirit of surrender, to whatever extent we can. We should accept what is happening in front of us as good for us, as Swami's gifts for us.
Yes.
And be always happy, 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 Swami says.
Shivam.
Shivam, 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 you know, auspicious. So if we are able to practice this leading up to Shivaratri and with intense prayer to the Lord that He allows us to transcend all the trivialities of identification with body and mind and truly recognize who we really are and just become nothing in His everything.
Yes, wonderful. Well, time is running out, otherwise I would not ever want to pause this beautiful satsang. Really only grateful to Bhagwan that He has arranged this for us. I don't know how much and to what extent it helps the listeners, but we can only be grateful that it definitely helps us. And in this whole process, we are just partners in this journey of assimilating His message and holding each other's hands, as we march on this path of becoming one with Him. Thank you so much, Brother Giridhar, for coming all the way and sharing such beautiful insights. I think there is so much to take and ruminate. We can endlessly go on talking just about one or two lines or one paragraph or two paragraphs of Prem Vahini. I know we have still not done justice. There are still so many beautiful thoughts that come. But I think in some ways we have started this thought process, and
yes,
every person can read, and you know, every person can ruminate and then come to their own conclusions of how our life is a great act of sacrifice.
Yes, and in fact, this mananam or rumination has to lead to nididhyasana.
Yes.
We have to practice and experience it in our life.
Yes.
As a realization of, you know,
yes,
life itself.
Yes, wonderful. So dear listeners, with that, it's time to wind up this beautiful day of living with Swami, ruminating on His teachings, this day-long session of Thursday life. As we offer our immense sense of gratitude to Bhagwan for this priceless opportunity, I also thank each one of you on behalf of all of us at Radio Sai for being with us, for being partners in this beautiful journey. Do keep sharing your thoughts with us. If you have any queries, any questions, anything that you want us to discuss more, discuss further, as you read a Prema Vahini, please do write to us. listener@radiosai.org, the email with which we are always available. We would be very happy to take your questions and discuss them more, because it is more important for us to listen from you and discuss what you want us to discuss than whatever comes to us. That would make this session interactive as well as mutually beneficial. Let's pray to Swami that we help each other on this beautiful journey of I to we, to He. Thank you so much. Salam.
You just heard part 2 of our program Vahini Satsang. This episode was first aired on the 16th February 2017 as part of Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.